I wonder if any of you are into sports. Any of the guys over here like play? What sport do you play, Alice? Hockey. Anything else? Just hockey. What position do you play in hockey? Anywhere. Right. Not goalkeeper or anything like that. Then. No. Anybody else into play sport? Yeah. Swimming. Right. Yeah. Isaac. Different sports. Right. Yeah. Right, all at school and things. All outside of school? Right. Any of you guys into sport? Play sport? Anybody play sport or used to play sport? I haven't come on to the watching of sport. I mean, there's probably lots of us who watch sport. I'm looking for anybody else who plays sport or used to play sport. You still attempt to play cricket? Right. Batsman or bowler? All-rounder? Bowler. And tennis, right? Tennis, yep. Sailing. Yes, yeah. Okay. Who did? At what? Hockey. Oh, I didn't know that. We have a star in our midst. Anne? Used to row in the night. Right. Yeah. So some of those sports are things we do perhaps as individuals or maybe in doubles, but some of those are team sports. Let's think for a moment about team sport. I don't play sport. I'm not good at sport, but I watch sport. So, and my sport is football. So if you're not into football, you have to forgive me because my analogies are around football. But in football, who would we think is perhaps the most important player? Would it be the forwards? Somebody once said that if you want to go win a game of football, the only thing you need to do is score more goals than the opponents. So it could be 1-0 or it could be 6-5. Who cares? As long as you score more than the opponents. So maybe the forwards are the most important. Or what about the defenders? If you can stop people scoring, then if you haven't got a very good strike force, then maybe it makes it a little bit easier for them. Or the goalkeepers. Very important. Often get picked on when they make a blunder and fail to save and forget about all the amazing saves that they do make. But it's actually not, if you're playing football, it's not about individuals, it's about being a team. And some teams have spent lots of money on lots of talented individuals, but haven't managed to mould them into a team, haven't managed to make them work to enable them to work together. And in order to succeed, you need to play as a team, working with and for each other. But there's more to the team than just those who are out on the pitch. There is the owner, and there is the manager. Anybody apart from Mr. Holloway know who that is? Not the most well-known manager, perhaps. I thought I'd go for the Reading manager, yes. Jose Gomez. Perhaps not the most well-known manager, but still very important to the Reading football team. But he's not the manager's not the only member of staff. There is the rest of the staff. The coaches, the nutritionists, the physios, the medical staff, the psychologists, and the list goes on probably in a lot of the different clubs. Some clubs even employ a chaplain to look after the spiritual side of people's lives. But what about perhaps one of the most vital people, so easily forgotten about, but exceedingly important, the kit man or woman? You can have very talented people. You can have a manager who organizes the team. You can train them in the right way to go. But if they haven't got any kit to wear, they won't be able to play. So we may think that actually that's an unimportant role, but actually, without them, they couldn't play. And all that big team, all that big backroom staff is there to make the actual football team out on the pitch the best it can be. Last week, Michael talked about us as a church being built together. about being built into God's temple, God's church. He talked about how God is breaking down that wall of hostility between, broke down that wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. And also that separation between us and him. That as a church, we are not just individuals, but being built together, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Michael reminded us about the need to maintain that unity, to not allow division to come in, and where we are separated from one another, to be reconciled over those differences. Now, as we move into chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul continues that plea for unity, that we are one, and Paul emphasizes that oneness. He says there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. That oneness that God wants for us. So we are all in this together. And we are joined to one another like parts of the body, caring for one another, building one another up, working together as God's church to fulfill his mission, growing together into what Christ wants us to be. Paul uses that picture of us being built together as a body. And all parts of the body matter. All have a part to play. Paul says to each of us, grace has been given. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Sometimes you may feel perhaps your role is unimportant. It feels a bit like washing the kit every week. But everybody matters. Elsewhere in the other passage where Paul talks about the body, he talks about how the foot cannot say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body. We all have a part to play. We have different roles and we are different sort of people. But we are all part of the body. Now, what is our strapline, our mission statement, if you like? What is it that appears on the bottom of our notices and probably at the top of lots of correspondence that we read? What's the statement about what we're about as a church? Anybody? Connecting people to Jesus, that's right. Warfield Church, connecting people to Jesus. Connecting people to Jesus, showing them God's love, showing them Jesus, sharing the good news, bringing them into that relationship with God the Father through Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, connected to Jesus, and connected to his body, the church. But connecting people to Jesus is only one part of a three-part mission statement that we have used in the past. So we have connecting people to Jesus. Can anybody tell me what the other two bits of that are? And if you're on the PCC, you have no excuse because you talked about this the other Saturday, I believe. So what's the second part of that three-part statement? Anybody know? Let's have equipping people for service. Yes, that's the second one. And the last one. Come on, Katrina. Releasing them into their God-given calling. So as a church, we are our prime thing is about connecting people to Jesus, but also equipping them for service and releasing them into their God-given calling. Equipping them for service, or equipping God's people, which is the theme of our service today. Or as Paul put it in verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. We are called to service of God, both in the church and in the world. And it's God who equips us for that service, who gives us gifts, who empowers us by his Spirit. But he also, Paul says, has given us specific people or roles or gifts that God has given to help equip us for his service. Here, Paul talks about five specific gifts or roles. Elsewhere, he talks about others. Here, he talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Let's just think briefly a little bit about what each one might be. Let's start with the apostle. It's perhaps a strange one, apostles. Perhaps one we think of not being relevant today, not being applicable today. And perhaps in many ways it isn't. Apostles were primarily those who founded the church, the 12 apostles, Paul, and maybe one or two others who are mentioned. But primarily, those are the eyewitnesses to Jesus, who saw Jesus, who were witnesses to his crucifixion, but were witnesses to his resurrection. Those who established the early church, who established its beliefs and its teaching. Those who, like Paul, went out and founded new churches. So perhaps in many ways the apostle role was very specific to the early church. And not so relevant perhaps today. We now have the New Testament that gives us that account of Jesus' life and enables us to know what we believe about Jesus and the teaching of that early church. But those foundations laid by the apostles are vital, and we still need those in the church, particularly in the wider church, who will ensure we remain true to the apostles' teaching. So perhaps we don't have apostles as such today, but there are still those with that pioneering planting of new congregations or churches. Perhaps those with vision for new ways of reaching out with the good news of Jesus. Elsewhere, Paul talks about the gifts of leadership, and we definitely need those with the gifts of leadership. Again, we believe as a church that the job of leaders is to empower others, or we could say the job of leaders is to equip others for service. Perhaps that apostle role, that leadership role, is like the manager of the football team. Next, Paul talks about prophets, those who speak God's word into our lives, perhaps as part of preaching, but those who will discern what God is saying to us at a particular time, maybe as a church or maybe as individuals. Over last year, God very much highlighted to us that this was that he was doing a new thing among us. This year, we are focused on that verse in Ephesians of it being a year of hope. God sometimes picks out words or verses from the Bible that says, this is for you at this time as a church, but maybe also to individuals. We need God to speak into our lives. So we need to be open to that, that God speak through us perhaps, as well as through others. And the third role Paul talks about is that of evangelists, those who help us to share the good news with others, but also who will keep that as our focus. They're not the only ones called to share the gospel, the good news. We all have a part to play in that. We're all called to be witnesses, to share what God has done in our lives. But there will be those who perhaps are particularly good at bringing people to faith. But as I said, who also keep us that focus for us about reminding us that our mission is to connect people to Jesus, to share that good news with them. Fourthly, Paul talks about pastors, those who care for us and nurture us, perhaps those who help us particularly in times of difficulty, strengthening us, picking us up, patching us up, ready to be sent out again. And again, we all have a part to play in caring for and helping one another. But there will be those who have a particular role or a particular gifting in that area who are able to help other people. And perhaps that's a little bit like the physios in the football team. Sometimes going out on the pitch and patching things up immediately, but other times dealing with longer term injuries and helping the player get back to full fitness. And the pastor's role perhaps sometimes is just to deal with immediate issues, but other times to help people get back to where they want to be. And finally, we have the teachers, those who will open up the Bible to help us understand more of God and what he's done for us, to show us what God wants for our lives. Not just about accumulating knowledge, but teaching that transforms our lives, that changes us, perhaps a little bit like the technical coaches in the football team who enable people to understand the theory, but more importantly, to put that theory into practice, to become better players. So we have the five gifts and roles mentioned here, but as I said, there are others. Paul talks about the gift of encouragement, the gift of administration. And we see those various gifts and roles exercised in many different ways across the Warfield Church, both by our full-time staff and by our many, many volunteers who get involved in different ways. Now, praise God, it's been a very long time since, as a church, we expected the vicar to do everything. But we don't expect our new associate ministers to do everything either. We're all in this together. That's the leadership team, but it's not just the leadership team either. It's all of us to get involved and be part of the team. But perhaps one of the roles of those in positions of leadership, perhaps those that of our full-time staff, is to equip us for service, to equip us to fulfill the mission of God for the church. And as an aside, you may have noticed sometimes when you look at the church accounts that a lot of our money is spent on staff, which is very important for them to enable us to do the things that God wants us to do. Sometimes directly involved in leading that and doing that, but in other ways, helping different people, all of us in the church to fulfill that role. So therefore, part of our service is actually giving to enable that to happen. So Paul has given us these gifts, these roles, to help equip us for service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Building up that body of Christ, enabling us to be the body that God wants us to be. Each of us playing our part in that. Each of us joined to that body. And that body working together in unity as one body. Not letting divisions come in, but supporting and working together with one another. That we may grow to maturity, to understanding more of God, understanding more of what he wants for us, being the people he wants us to be. And then that last bit, filled, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Being filled completely with Christ and what he wants us to be. Sometimes when I was reading the passage for today, sometimes it felt a little bit like it was all about what we do in church. And it is about what we do in church when we talk about serving God, but it's also about what we do in the world. We're equipped to serve God in the church, which is not just Sundays, but we're also equipped to serve God out in the world Monday to Saturday, and the rest of Sunday for that matter. So we're equipped to be confident in our faith, in what we believe. So when we're confronted by others who have different views of life, we're confident about our beliefs in Jesus. We're able to live out our faith in the way we behave towards others, our values, our lifestyle, and to be ready to share that faith with those we encounter each day. Our God-given calling may be doing something in the church, but it might also be being a mom at home looking after the kids. It may be being the only Christian in the office. It may be being the grandparent who prays for their grandchildren to come to know Jesus. Or it might be the boss who models Jesus' style of leadership. Or it might be being the friend to somebody at school who's being bullied. But for all of us, wherever we find ourselves throughout the week, it is being Jesus wherever we are. Being people who are filled to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, we are the body of Christ. We are in this together. And we each have a part to play. And God has many ways for us to serve him and to serve others, both in the church and in the world. And he has equipped us, has given us his Spirit, but he's also given us people to help us in that, to equip us for service. So for each of us, let's be those who respond, who grow in our faith, who are filled to that whole measure of Christ, who wholeheartedly serve in whatever God calls us to, both in the church and in the world. And let's not be those who just sit and watch the game from the stands. Let's be those who get out on the pitch and are part of the team. Amen.